yelling again loudly, Whitesnake lives. Holla! Thank you very much. Killing on date night. 3 kids later, dates with my wife are rare. Last time we had one, the waiter asks, how are we doing tonight? I say, last time we had a night free from our kids, I got my wife pregnant again. We haven't ordered our drinks yet, but I already feel like I'm in the middle of a 5-week rave in Germany, if you really need to know. Can I get a holla for not one, but two, but comedy record number 9 in July alone? This comedic train is bound for glory. Bruce, I think you owe me a ball tickle at this stage too. Holla! Thank you very much! Not my president, David Stern. The NBA would be must-see TV for me again if NBC bought back the broadcast rights from ESPN and allowed these social justice messages on NBA jerseys, such as, fuck Palestine, guaranteed money is so oppressive, Planned Parenthood isn't my forte, Farrakhan for president, me too, and Popovich, we trust not, Steve Kerr is all right, Locke, hammer time, cankles up, Obama be meh, educating myself on Hitler, hands up on defense, imagine MJ choking, I love my Jewish agent more than my absentee father, defund French Licks White Man's Disease Institute for higher hopping, private Catholic high school scholarships rule, hate speech is pro-Trump trash talk, charter schools are lifelines for poor Urkels, yuan paper matters most, Obama ruined everything, not my president, David Stern. Can I get a holla for the artist and a comedy being a punchline sprint and for me being the big-headed, funny Jude version of fucking Usain Bolt? Holla! Thank you very much! Crap Brewers are releasing a new beer to support racial equality. One of those beers is a brown lager called Kerry Washington. It's still overrated. Holla! Trump lives. Thank you very much. All Lives Matter is the new N-word. Imagine a white player like J.J. Redick wearing All Lives Matter on his NBA jersey ever. If he manages to get home after a Pelicans game in one piece, wife says, I could still use this coupon for the Dollar Shave Club if you don't want to give your teammates the pleasure of cutting you first so they could retire you prematurely from breathing, J.J. The alt-right comb-over isn't a good look either, so that has to go also. Bun cakes. Holla! Thank you very much! Kneeling is spitting on vets' graves. Vets who are men of color, especially during Vietnam, who bled the same color as Biggie Smalls, Ron Kovac, even Hunter Biden, a.k.a. Sir Snort a Lot, assuming he got a vicious nosebleed from bad coke in some townie bar in Wilmington, Delaware, only hearing last call from the bathroom stall. Whereas earlier that night for his birthday, when Jill said blow, he snorted the cake. Pro athletes in the 60s during Vietnam couldn't retire at 32 years old like Penny Hardaway, but instead were forced to sell homeowners insurance for Allstate for a living, before Antifa attack premiums for homes with Trump 2002 20 flags went through the roof. Kneeling isn't about the flag. You're right, Steve Kerr. It's about your own warped opinion on so-called racial discrimination and justice. Because getting paid guaranteed money in the NBA, regardless of a reliable hook shot with your left hand, is so oppressive. Even if you're guaranteed $100 million contract leads to you being a number one pick bust like Greg Oden, because spending more time posting dick pics than working on your post moves down low, opting to flop it around like you just don't care, is more oppressive than foot binding or those same geishas walking out the knots on top of Greg Oden's stress-free, backed at flowing extension to a reliable hook shot that never got off the ground either. The flag is just a fake news, patriotic prop. Poker face Popovich. Tell that to a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne Division, known as Jimi Hendrix, whose soul-tantalizing rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner blew your mind and sent shivers down your spine, making me proud to be an American, like when Whitney's voice pierced through the clouds of star-spangled heaven. That's for you, babe. Holla! Thank you very much! The Deadhead Waltons, blowing out my voice already. That's what happens when you record 9 comedy records in 1 month alone. And the best is yet to come. Sinatra lives. Holla! Thank you very much! The Deadhead Waltons. Ex-Lakers coach Luke Walton on the phone with his Hall of Fame father, Bill. Luke Walton says, "You keep on trucking, Dad. You can't relate to players today unless you could cite 10 songs on your fake news Nipsey Hussle playlist." Bill Walton says, "Citing what China never achieves higher consciousness either, big man. And who made Chaz in charge of Seattle? I miss Jerry's Portlandia. Now, every day is burnout day. Green Day lives. Holla! Thank you very much!" Cooling on the Knicks. Ex-Golden Child. "I want the knife. Eddie lives. Holla! Thank you very much!" "I don't like Jeremy Lin anymore because he's a fake news Christian. If he was so concerned with spreading the light, then take a stand and don't play for the Beijing Ducks, asshole." I'm positive LeVar Ball could start his new tweener league with Jeremy Lin as the semi-deplorable star in J.R. Smith's eyes. It's not as if Jeremy Lin is hurting for cash. I'm also calling Jeremy Lin a fake news Christian because claiming you wanted to play for the Knicks after Linsanity is bullshit, because I wouldn't after J.R. Smith bitched about the Golden Child hogging the bike lane all for himself. But what really burned me about Jeremy Lin's interview with the New York Post was the total lack of provocative questions from the New York Post, such as, "Do you really believe Obama was a baller at basketball, knowing he rode the bench at an all-Asian private school in Hawaii, Jeremy?" Or, "Despite Melo's alleged career resurgence in Portland, do you think he should be the new commercial spokesperson for Tampax Tampons because he's responsible for stopping so much flowage? Last, do you think Conan O'Brien being demoted to TBS makes him feel like a resounding winner inside, knowing NBC deemed him too eccentric, nerdy for the Tonight Show's taste, in addition to NBC just being fake news bullshit in bed with China, now like the rest, TNT included? So what difference does it make? Hillary, Hammer Time Cankles, strikes again. Holla! Thank you very much!" Mitt Romney, marching in solidarity with BLM is nice. Was Karl Malone there, or did Magic Johnson's gay son in attendance force the mailman to skip that route and keep on trucking? Grateful Dead lives. Holla! In particular, Robert Hunter. Thank you very much! If Jeff Bezos really cared about supporting Black Lives Matter, he'd hook up Monique with some voiceover work and make her the new voice of Alexa. So Alexa no longer sounds like a drone-ish Scarlett Johansson between throat blocker, estrogen treatments. Holla! Boom shakalaka. Thank you very much! Can't find a better man. Sounds a tad egocentric, Eddie Vedder. Don't you think? Courtney Love told Billy Corgan the same line before her shotgun marriage to Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain's spirit animal was definitely the wise-ass owl. It was all about injecting smack into his lyrics and endless catty interviews on MTV2. The world's most woke arena. The Foo Fighters played Madison Square Garden for the first big concert post-pandemic on June 20th in front of 20,000 fans, immune to catching any semblance of taste throughout their ever-long, edgeless lives. Bill Hicks lives. Holla! Thank you very much! But Dave Grohl is one of the good guys, bro. He's an accessory to murder. If Kurt Cobain killed himself, Woody Allen still stands a good shot at winning Father of the Year. If Frank Sinatra is Ronan Farrow's father, then why isn't Woody sleeping next to Secretariat yet? Courtney Love is Mia Farrow with better husband selection. Can you get a fake news, fake vaccine ID in Times Square? Or does domestic terrorist money payments in Bitcoin no longer apply? What if a MAGA groupie flashed her tits at Dave Grohl from the front row before throwing a secret stash of hydrochloroxine on the stage? Would she be banned from MSG for inciting a riot against good drugs that would have saved plenty of name? Bon Jovi lives. Holla. Thank you very much. There have been more than 5,000 reported deaths from the alleged miracle non-FDA-approved vaccine designed to keep you safe from the made-in Wuhan virus, financed by U.S. tax dollars thanks to fuckface Fauci's use of gain-of-function research designed to get you more than rabies from Chinese bats. What happens when that number reaches 100,000? Will the WHO be invited to play next year at MSG if they promise not to play, we won't get fooled again? Or was that Pete Townsend's alibi when he got caught clicking on soapy bottoms at nothing to see here at moveon.org in the name of opposition research for a song about Pizzagate conspiracy theorist Alex Jones lives? Holla! Thank you very much! And if Michael Jackson were alive today, Monique Alexa, how would he defend himself against his Neverland accusers exactly? All the Beatles royalty points in the world can't buy me love. Holla! Thank you very much! Actually giving a shit about Jay Cutler. Fuck Jay Cutler's wife for divorcing him because he just wants to hang out with his three kids on their Tennessee farm and enjoy the fruits of his labor. God forbid. The man was freezing his balls off in Chicago forever, getting his head bashed in while the NFL settled out of court and cut fake news fro Colin Kaepernick the largest unemployment check ever recorded. But your husband is no longer motivated enough for you because he doesn't want to do broadcasting for the NFL and do his best sad sack Troy Aikman impersonation? Cut Cutler some slack, you user-minded bitch. I still think Eli Manning is a bigger pimp than Tom Brady because he's NFL royalty and he ruins Tom Brady's shot at a perfect season. So Brady's married to Giselle, who used to be a Victoria's Secret like super angel. She's still 80 in model years. Holla! Thank you very much! One time, I met this guy at a bar and he says, how can you be into football if you don't play fantasy football? And I said, dude, how can you be into women when you spent last Saturday night calculating the black to gray ratio on Brett Favre's ball sack? Tom Brady recently came out to the media and said that the sketch that he did involving a massage parlor bit was not a poke at Patriots owner Bob Kraft because he does not endorse sex trafficking among minors at all whatsoever, because he only requests older happy enders that weren't yanked off the boat yesterday. Sticking with Nerf football in the yard, my dad pushing eventual peewee football on his grandson is another example of him trying to make me bow down to his authoritative opinion, which makes me think he's the one with brain trauma from feeding his head with too much acid at Woodstock. Because if I bow down to this belabored, weak-ass pitch command request, I would have shied away from doing political material at all during my speech at my younger brother's wedding when I said to his old pal from boarding school, Cam from Canada, make yourself at home and hit somebody so Jim Carrey can paint you as an alt-right goon for hire in Charlottesville with a tiki torch in hand, looking like an angry, rejected extra from the Sears catalog in 89. Dreams of monument sharing with Abe. Obama on Mount Rushmore proves what? Kenyan lives matter most. Iran laughed its way to the bank regardless. In post-woke times, only fake news talent rises to the top. And just to address the nickname from before, I call Colin Kaepernick a fake news fro because have you ever seen a biracial afro that large before? Slash tried to grow it out, and it was a total flop. Lenny Kravitz, a kick-ass biracial Hebrew, could never make his fro bounce that way. Teddy Roosevelt founded the Rough Riders, yet I don't hear anyone bitching from the Teddy Roosevelt estate about DMX being guilty of cultural appropriation for thugging up the Rough Rider brand for all it was worth. Teddy Roosevelt gave us our national park system. Obama gave us Trevor Noah. That's an accomplishment for you. For 8 years, you never heard anyone profess out loud with passionate, sincere feeling, I love Obama. Comedy Central executives felt the same way when they re-signed Trevor Noah for the foreseeable future. Why should Obama be meh, be on Mount Rushmore again for rebranding ISIS ISIL? So ISIS would sound more startup friendly in the New York Times. That's another Obama accomplishment for you. Vastly superior to Abe Lincoln making the Emancipation Proclamation. And in addition to bed sharing with Frederick Douglass in the Lincoln bedroom to celebrate, while Mary Todd subbed off her white privilege on her Louis XIV reading couch for a change. I'm happy for you means I'm out of manufactured pleasantness in your honor, and you're a moron for thinking our relationship was ever a shining example of love supreme, love supreme. John Coltrane lives live at the Village Vanguard, but not really. Holla! Thank you very much! Buffalo Bush. So far, my claim to fame was an appearance on the TV show Blind Date. All I got out of it was a free meal and herpes. My luck, my date was a -6 by upstate New York standards. My date gave the producers permission to shoot her Buffalo Bush waxing scene because she obviously grew it out for the occasion for some time. Her mountain of muff looked like a stack of Brillo pads stacked on top of a stack of busted Slinkies. At the end of our date, she says, should we kiss? In my mind, I'm thinking, sure, why not? You're not nearly hot enough to give me herpes. At the same time, kissing her on camera, which we ended up doing, was beyond anticlimactic after already staring down her mounted on muff prior. It was like rounding the bases from third counterclockwise, like a faster talking Forrest Gump minus the tingly film score in my honor, or a centerfold girlfriend material to fill up in her dorm room with Big Ten beauties on top. Forrest lives. Forrest and Jenny forever. Holla, Gen X. Dads. Rule. Holla! Thank you very much! Doodle Dad does Israel. Just 1 in 5 people in Britain say the Bible is irrelevant to them. How hard is Ricky Gervais right now? Not even Steve Carell on the telly advertising his latest $100 million blockbuster film can bring it down. Trump's the Antichrist. But in the Bible part 2, Jesus returns from heaven to defeat the Antichrist. So have some faith in the Jesus comeback story, won't you, people? What I loved about President Trump in office was his relentless optimism and over-the-top salesmanship. If Trump was diagnosed with HIV while in office after fuckface Fauci injected him with the same dirty HIV needle that they gave AIDS to Eazy-E with, the next morning, Trump would tweet, "Do I have HIV? Yes, but my T-cell count numbers have never been stronger." This is my impersonation of President Trump debating climate change with Greta Thunberg. "No, Greta, I don't believe in climate change because Al Gore's documentary film career has cooled considerably." "Also, Greta, did you know that fracking actually reduces our CO2 emissions?" And Fury Brow snaps back with, "So Neil Young is full of shit now?" Trump says, "Neil Young doesn't take showers to reduce his carbon footprint, so that much you share in common, babe." Plus, all the dreamers housing down Doritos and liters of Mountain Dew will make up for the low birth rates in our country in no time. If Biden, aka Mr. Groper, was a real man of integrity, then why did he never tell Hunter to cut out knocking up baby mama strippers on crack and refrain from creaming in his dead brother's wife seconds after the cremation ensued? The worst beard mayor of all time. Did you know that Mayor de Blasio, Bird Brain de Blasio, did you know that his wife used to be a full-time Park Slope lesbo before they met? Yet we're supposed to believe garlic breath converted her? De Blasio, Bird Brain, eats pizza with a fork and knife. So can you honestly picture Bird Brain burying his beak into her bean pie without a mask on to go to town with such sloppy, reckless abandon? Sure, sounds like a plausible theory to digest. NPR isn't biased. They interviewed a cop last week to ask him questions on whether blue balls matter, since the eradication of bail eliminates any sustained stiffage over the prospect of cops being able to keep the bad guys off the street by the time de Blasio wraps up his 10-pound curl regimen at the Park Slope Y. Follow the vaccine body count. The Indian health ambassador and former comedian got a COVID vaccine shot on live TV to show everyone how safe it was, and he died 2 days later. I hope the former comic is reincarnated as anal warts inside Dr. Fauci's hellhole colon. The Indian comic should have stuck to killing with arranged marriage material instead. Former Indian comedian says, "It's easier to get your wife into anal if you're pushed into marrying one caste beneath you." The unholy father. Planned Parenthood has a sex ed book out, in case you're curious, targeted toward sexually confused hipster spawn reared on Lou Reed Records. One of the earlier chapters is, "Can you die from masturbating too much. My advice to my two young boys is you can't die from trying, especially after you outgrow your sweaty sex period with your girlfriend, which lasts 3 months, tops, max, all depending on what they're offering up top. Plus, in the age of Me Too, masturbation is our last safety rail left, kids. Call me an unholy father, but pointing out the benefits of my daughter being a lesbian when every other guy has HPV today, which causes cervical cancer if left undetected, isn't the worst prevent defense strategy in the world. Because when you're lesbian, you could take a licking and keep on ticking. Opening joke for Dutchess County tonight. Governor Cuomo, the Italian reptilian inside, getting paid to write a book on leadership is like Woody Allen getting a book advance to write a book on hands-off parenting. Or Kevin Durant, Mr. Millennial Mouseketeer himself, getting picked to give a TED Talk on how to defend yourself against cyberbullying. Or hooking up R. Kelly with early parole to babysit the latest Kardashian out of the womb. Can I get a holla for some A-plus holla? If you're offended by this material, then go woke yourself, holla. Thank you very much. Pro near abortion tales. What's so crazy about Kanye West giving thanks and praises for never urging Kim Kardashian to abort their first child together, which brought him closer to God than ever before? In related news, Kim Kardashian is studying to become a criminal justice lawyer. Criminal justice lawyers are so hot right now, especially since All Lives Matter became the new N-word. Was it ultimately Kim's decision? Yes. But for the wife of his four kids to punish Kanye West for hardcore emotional realism all of a sudden by murmuring to friends and family about having him locked up for merely retelling the near tragic tale of almost pushing Kim to prematurely knock off the eventual light of his life with the morning after pill amassing dust on Joy Behar's dresser drawer since 86 is some real cold-hearted gangsta shit. Kim Kardashian is no better than Twitter, Facebook, or the outrage mob in general, online or off, for trying to censor her husband's speech by threatening to lock him up in a loony bin for telling a pro-near abortion tale turn out good. He's already under lockdown in his Wyoming home with his four kids, like another married slut in a straitjacket that is before he got divorced. So if Kim really cared about social justice, then 4 months ago, she would be down with giving Kanye some much-needed breathing room, bitch. Holla! Thank you very much! Memo to pro-lifers. I don't need the baby womb memes to understand a developed, unlived life is inside. And unless you're claiming responsibility for raising the child yourself or adopting kids you can't afford, your memes are, dare I say, a tad overkill. Comparing 6 million Jews exterminated in the Holocaust to 20 million unborn black babies terminated by Planned Parenthood before they could grow up unloved, unwanted, abused, and molested like Precious is in poor taste too. It's hard to explain third trimester abortions to your kids without sounding like you're imposing PG-13 rated semantics to sugarcoat the last minute planned termination of life. In New York, a pregnant woman can abort our be fruitful and multiply mission whenever, wherever she wants, within state lines, within a New York minute. I wonder if my parents would have aborted me in the third trimester if they knew I'd end up with a learning disability. So they could have avoided the horror show of their station wagon bumper sticker that read, "My son sucks at standardized tests." Gender fluid. Pink Ziti. If identifying myself as a gender fluid will increase my chances of getting a job interview for a paid remote writer position, then I have no problem filling out that hole. Why not write myself a remake of Tootsie, except instead of an out-of-work actor dressing up like a woman to get work, I'll play a gender-fluid blogger who dresses up like Bobby Doll from Poison for Zoom calls based on his makeup complexion on the record cover from Look With The Cat Dragged In. I've also been a stay-at-home dad and our unofficial in-house gourmand chef for my three kids much longer than your typical paid time-off maternity period. So I'm more than accustomed to my nurse wife treating me like her gimpy bitch underling for some time already. The way weapons maestro maker Destro would constantly belittle Cobra Commander's commanding heft or leadership authority of the Crimson Twins, relegating them to nothing more than overrated trust fund terrorist babies. Stay-at-home dads, regardless if they boast more than 1,200 followers on their WordPress blog or not, are more than used to subduing their urge to dominate a conversation and play the role of submissive puss next time the subject of whether stay-at-home moms should get paid because they're not fake feminists who suffer from severe egotism as much either. So for now, the million-dollar question: how can you make Big Ziti at home for your kids while doing your best to feel semi-manly doing it in the process? Easy. Make gender-fluid Pink Ziti. Wear out the pseudo-feminine label on your rolled-up, buttoned-down Ted Baker sleeve. Or live the remainder of your life scared from being outed as a shishi bitch and richer life picker-upper. Holla! Thank you very much! Also, get extra flamboyant with your presentation and announce to the world in a loud and proud fashion. Blanket your Big Ziti with herbed rosemary bitches. It's only Alice Waters' favorite herb, which she told Bill Maher on Real Time once. Oh, that's right. Only gay guys know the names of brand name female chefs. My bad. Using an excessive preponderance of over-the-top spreadage of ricotta in your gender-fluid Pink Ziti doesn't make the preparation of making this old-school Italian classic make you feel any more rough and tumble manly either. I'd also refrain from considering the subbing, the use of cream to add that pinkish alluring glow in favor of using coconut milk if sticking with the kosherian diet to please God isn't a predominant consideration if you decided to throw diced up chicken bits of protein in there either. Frying up some peeled off bits of garlic, diced fine bits of shallot and butter, and virgin cold pressed olive oil, interspersed with cut off specks of rosemary dust before plopping the pre-made roused marinara sauce, doesn't make you feel like Rocky pulling Paulie in a sled during his training sequence in Rocky IV either. Using locally sourced pecorino from Yonkers, DMX's hometown, adds some salty, hardcore edge to your overall gender-fluid Big Ziti presentation, but not nearly as much as you think. It's getting pretty hot pink up in here, I thought, while revealing my gender-fluid Pink Ziti, which my family inhaled with scrumptious glee. So if making delectable pink gender fluid ziti makes it hellish hot up in here, so be it. The endless sporadic mms were worth losing whatever masculine edge I have left. Can I get a holla for not pussyfooting through this killer set for Common Record number 9, one bit? Holla! Thank you very much! The eulogy, Ghost Rider. Dude Old Dad had a bit in his old stand-up comedy act called Wise Black Grandma, where he'd say, if I could do it again, I would have subbed my no-show whiny Jewish grandma for a wise black grandma to fill in her place at my wedding instead. Posting out on Craigslist, wise black grandma needed for a wedding in Woodstock. Tyler Perry impersonators are welcome. Must be comfortable performing in front of white audiences only. Growing up, Dude Old Dad grew a fondness, teetering on full-blown love for his substitute Grandpa Ed, who exuded the fury-browed, warm-hearted, wiser glint you'd expect from a retired Jewish estate tax lawyer from Queens, in his button-up, neatly woven sweaters and whiff of well-put-together aftershave. Becoming a grandpa doesn't make you Santa Claus. Yet Grandpa Ed, his substitute grandpa, who was Jewish Grandma Ethel, remarried soon after the death of her first husband, Murray, would always shell out an always neat, crisp $5 bill for the grandkid who found the afikomen, which is the half-broken piece of matzah little Jewish kids go looking for at their dinner for Passover, which was a nice, cheer-filled touch to celebrate the Jewish people's liberation from slavery in honor of God's hardcore divine intervention years on the behalf of his chosen people, meant to become cosmic perfectionist lovers of TV who live to complain in restaurants about unrecognized immediate service on demand. Now, Grandpa Ed had a grandson from his first marriage. Yet you didn't get that distinct impression based on the eulogy he delivered on his grandpa's behalf. And Roger was billed as the really smart one because he played chess and wore plenty of turtlenecks, which gives you 10 extra IQ points easy. Grandpa Ed was dead now. And Roger, who later went to Harvard, was supposed to be giving a heartfelt eulogy in honor of his biological grandfather, not his rebound one, yet merely reading some boring letter his original wife wrote to Grandpa Ed, devoid of any juicy details, such as their own sweaty sex period after World War II, when she used to lick ice cream bonbons off his belly button during those brutally hot summer Queens nights before Grandpa passed the bar, became a family estate tax lawyer, and could afford an AC unit of their own, failed to bring back any semblance of real deal connected feeling either. Eulogies really do separate the men from the ungrateful twats such as Roger, who couldn't muster up a single original expressive remembrance of his dead biological grandfather, who treated him like the second coming of Bobby Fischer. Eulogies also reveal if Grandpa raised a cunt for brains daughter too. Now, there's a good kind of gall and a bad kind of gall. Faye, Roger's clammy, insincere, peppy, patronizing, style-free, Ted Stumpy mother, showcased the worst kind of gall when during her eulogy, she went for the kishkas, meaning the intestines in Yiddish, by openly declaring permanent FU season on Doodle Dad's grandma when she said, with what felt like manufactured, dialed-up invective times infinity, I'm just glad that my dad can join mom now in heaven, which was a low blow on par with Mini-Me trying to gnaw off Austin Powers' nuts in The Spy That Shagged Me. Now, in the limo ride to the gravesite, Faye asked Do-It-All Dad, a 20-year-old college junior at the time, you didn't write your eulogy, did you? He says, no, my mom wrote it for me, Faye. Faye almost stutters and says, well, I just thought the 20-year-old Do-It-All Dad, who wasn't a dad just yet, You thought what, Faye? I hired a eulogy ghostwriter with my busboy tip money from the Cape this summer. My eulogy was well received by the rabbi because it sprang from my heart, Faye. Regardless of Grandpa Ed was my rebound grandpa or not, he still treated me like I was his own grandson, worthy of his wisdom and love, which is more than my own dad. And I actually recall him telling me how to place my feet when using a 7-iron once, which is more than my own dad ever taught me, besides a half-formed hookshot to nowhere. Wasn't there anything Roger could have mentioned to honor his legacy outside of reading an old letter his first wife wrote? Reality is, your son Roger, the genius, is the one guilty of plagiarizing by stealing the memories contained in an old letter your mom wrote to fill in the lapse of having any soul serenade sermon to deliver on his own. And where do you get the gall to disrespect my grandmother at her dead husband's funeral, regardless if you feel her endlessly manic bipolar art-buying spree of Southwest American Indian art being responsible for draining his will to live one second more either? Also, Jews focus more on mitzvah and doing good for the sake of doing good here on earth, without the intention of soul financial gain or promise hookup afterlife props in heaven afterwards, where all sins are cleared, even if Grandpa Ed asked Jesus to forgive him for raising such a cunt for brains like yourself. Do I have a way with words or what? But I'm positive Roger will make an excellent food coloring chemist for Johnson & Johnson to overcompensate for his color-free personality, which he could thank you for inheriting at your funeral, too. Jesus, killer set. God didn't give me 3 unplanned kids to have a panic attack over it. Obviously, God never had the same confidence in Pete Davidson, the rebound boy toy voice of Generation Z. And how gay is Hollywood, knowing this kid is plying so much A-plus trim despite Pete Davidson looking like Barney from The Simpsons and Annie Leibovitz had a baby. I stopped smoking weed before I thought my daughter was asleep because it got depressing, taking so long to answer her questions on it. So, Daddy, if God created the universe, then who created God? God went back in time in a time machine made by Elon Musk. Daughter says, real convincing, Dad. Thanks for making me an atheist at 4. One time I met a comic who said, you're not Jewish if you haven't been beaten up for it. So, technically speaking, I'm not a too-tall Jew anymore, just another annoying, loud-mouthed New Yorker with my own godlike complex to contend with, like the rest of you elitist Bill Maher suck-em-off wannabes. I'm in Arizona for another arranged visit to see my parents, who retired to Scottsdale, Arizona, so my dad could die in his jacuzzi overlooking Camelback Mountain like an arrogant, self-satisfied Tony Montana for keeping his nose clean, unlike his favorite son, who 3 decades later still only hears last call from the bathroom stall. For my brother's 40th birthday, his friend said blow, and he snorted the cake, but he outgrew the need for Coke because he takes 100 milligrams of Adderall now per day. I don't know about you, but if I took 100 milligrams of Adderall, I'd blow through the Old Testament and the Bible Part 2 in a New York minute. Which reminds me, does anyone here really believe Trump is the Antichrist? Because in the Bible Part 2, where Jews get blamed for killing Jesus, despite there being no actual proof of annoying or boring him to death in the process, Jesus returns from heaven to defeat the Antichrist. So have some faith in the Jesus comeback story, won't you people? But it's the Jews who egged on the Romans to crucify Jesus because their heckling prowess was on par with the old curmudgeon Alter Cocker puppets from the fucking Muppet Show. Is it me or does Natalie Portman's forehead make her look like an uppity Jewish grandma born with an Israeli clementine up her ass off the Red Sea? Do icy, unhuggable cunts float? Just curious. Natalie Portman refused to accept the Genius Award in Israel, which is their equivalent to the Nobel Peace Prize, because she disagrees with Israeli policies of aggression, despite her failing to acknowledge how Israel's war against Hamas is never ending as long as Palestinians keep fucking. Plus, Natalie Portman never got the memo that stated, when you fire 4,000 rockets into Israel's backyard, don't expect an edible gift basket in return with a thank you note written in Farsi. Last time I was in the city, I'm at a gastropub in the village, and my Irish wife, who kept her maiden name, Duffy, pays her tab, and the bartender says, Duffy, like me, I say, What a coincidence. You two can open a bar together and live happily ever after and call it, oh, I hate Jesus burning Jews, but we have Jewish grandchildren. We did have Jewish grandchildren running through the White House before the day democracy died. Try beating that through your dumb Mick heads. Oh, yeah. Dennis Leary is a hack. Oscar Wilde is overrated. And George Carlin's daughter is a deadweight conversationalist who couldn't be more boring drab if she tried. Last, Jack Dempsey was part Native American Indian and JFK almost like Cuba, Tanuka's into pieces. But you're the lucky chosen ones, not us. Good night. Doodle Dad gets a standing ovation from his Jewish mothering book club for channeling his inner Lenny Bruce in honor of his Jesus killer set for the ages. Can I get a holla for an A-plus section from the Great American Jew novel that I decided to accentuate this killer set for killing Lally again? You're welcome, Whitesnake Lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Motor mouth disease. Claiming my son's speech problems will make it difficult for him to develop positive relationships in kindergarten is a tad melodramatic. Besides, I already told my son, Arthur, about Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Fake an interest in others as long as humanly possible. Arthur's speech problems make it hard for him to develop positive relationships with his peers. I'll tell him to tone down his expressive genius. Like Henry Miller said, nothing is more depressing than a genius scrounging for work or recording 9 comedy records in the month of July alone, desperately scrounging SoundCloud for more likes in his honor. Holla! Make me go viral, bitches. Just busting balls. Thank you very much! Arthur's speech problems make it hard for him to develop positive relationships with his peers. Turn the other kids on to John Coltrane records during his super frenetic period so they can keep up with his motor mouth already. Is Janie crying because Arthur called her a fake feminist for never offering to pick up after her Crayola station? Are Billy's roundups of SpongeBob SquarePants that much more absorbing to listen to? Native New Yorkers talk fast because, like Dave Matthews, they have so much to say. Bad example. Dave Matthews makes no sense to me either. Arthur's speech problems make it hard for him to develop positive relationships with his peers. Is he expected to be fluent in Spanish for Taco Tuesdays already? Arthur's speech problems make it hard for him to develop positive relationships with his peers because he's demanding commission for selling more Girl Scout cookies than Mia. I sold the most. Why shouldn't I get a cut of the pie? Boston Lives. Holla! Thank you very much! Arthur's speech problems make it hard for him to develop positive relationships with his peers. Sure, if you were a tech support worker from Mumbai trying to get a job at the Genius Bar in Manhattan. I read your pre-K progress report for Arthur. His speech makes it difficult for him to form positive relationships with his peers. But every time I pick him up, all the girls in the class insist on a play date at our house. I know star power runs in the family, and I'm sensitive to charges of talking too fast. You may as well haven't run out of breath yet. But I'll make sure that when my son Arthur is old enough to attend junior high, he will not go there without a lawyer on his person at all times to hand out pre-panage consent forms. Holla! Thank you very much! Shoulder rides on the shoulders of funny giants. Why are your eyes still bugging in comedy heaven, Uncle Bernie? I can understand why Kevin Hart would be surprised to get in here, but not you. Classy move, Uncle Milty, for paying the funeral costs for Lenny. At least he didn't have to wear a dress to score a leg up on the competition. Thanks for the shoulder ride, Uncle Red. I wouldn't be able to see Wilson Pickett bring down the house at the Apollo in comedy clown heaven with so many afro clouds obstructing my view. Looking good, Freddie Prinze Jr. You look well-rested for a change. Am I supposed to hide in your bag of dildos when it's your turn, Uncle Patrice? Did you really shit on the bed during your druggy drunk years? with Jessica Hahn, Uncle Sam. When you open for Bon Jovi at Giant Stadium in front of 85,000, it's all downhill from there, kid. On the Marc Maron podcast, Obama said you were his favorite stand-up comedian, Uncle Dick. You know, he really wanted to say Flip Wilson in drag, right? Uncle Richard, you do know your best friend, Mr. Mooney, only dedicated two paragraphs to you in his pamphlet-thin autobiography. That Blair Underwood wannabe is crazy. Thoreau suck without you, Uncle Geraldo. Jeff Ross isn't any easier on the eyes either. I'm not taking magic mushrooms to see we're all interconnected as one Hicks. Just tell me another funny dinosaur story bit. You know my big sister likes dice better than you. It's just a shoulder ride, Uncle Carlin. There's no need to strip the moment of old joy by renaming it. Your daddy didn't give you enough of these, did he? Who wears a rope to Hershey Park, Rodney? Kiss my giant ass, kid. I made back to school. Show Uncle Rodney some respect. Things are different in comedy clown heaven now. Scene. Library. Vice principal. Is this your first rodeo? Do it all, Dad. Third, actually. But four kids would really piss my parents off. I don't work for a private equity firm, so what's my game plan exactly? Killing loudly again and again. Holla! Thank you very much!